you just pushed a massive new AI feature to production. And, you know, your quality gates are rock solid. You are evaluating every single LLM output multiple times to prevent hallucinations or bad data from reaching your users.
Yeah, you feel invincible, right?
Exactly. You feel great. Then the end of the month arrives, you open your API bill, and your jaw just hits the floor. I mean, you are completely bankrupt.
It is the ultimate nightmare scenario for developers.
It really is. The computational cost of checking everything everywhere all at once has created a massive crippling cost explosion. So today, we are doing a deep dive into a technical blueprint that solves this exact problem.
And it's such a clever solution, too.
Right. It's a source document detailing something called the layered evil cascading pattern. And the mission today is to unpack how a specific four-layer evaluation pipeline uses this concept known as positive-only cascading to cut those massive evaluation costs by anywhere from 3 to 30 times.
Which is just a staggering amount of savings. I mean, it's the ultimate dilemma in modern system design, right? You are caught in this brutal tug of war between the uncompromising need for output quality and the very real, often fatal constraints of latency and financial cost.
Yeah, and I feel like most development teams just assume they have to, you know, bite the bullet and pay the massive bill to guarantee safety.
They absolutely do. They think it's just the cost of doing business with AI.
But this deep dive proves you really do not have to accept that trade-off. We have an incredibly detailed technical wiki in front of us, and consider this your work smarter, not harder blueprint. We want to give you a shortcut to understanding this cutting-edge cost optimization without getting bogged down in impenetrable jargon.
Because the jargon can be intense, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. But before we get into the actual four layers of this pipeline, I think we need to talk about why the standard approach to AI evaluation is fundamentally broken.
Yeah, to appreciate the fix, you really have to look at the naive baseline.
The default way of doing things.
Exactly. This is the default, highly flawed approach most engineers take when they first try to build a robust quality gate. They take multiple large language model evaluators, and in our sources-specific pipeline, these are tools called GEvol, NLI, Coherence, and Self-Check GPT.
And they just stack them up in a row.
Right. They just stack them up.
I mean, I get why people do that. If you're a developer, your first instinct is more checks equal better quality.
Right.
Like if one evaluator is good, four must be bulletproof.
Sure, it looks bulletproof on a whiteboard. But in execution, it is incredibly wasteful. The naive approach takes every single input, let's call them bullets of data, and forces every single bullet through every single layer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you are running four distinct, often heavy, multi-second evaluations on absolutely everything, completely regardless of what the earlier layers found.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I was thinking about this when I was reading through the source material. It's basically like having four intense security checkpoints at an airport.
Oh, that's a great way to think about it.
Right. But instead of a normal system, you are forcing every single passenger to go through checkpoints 2, 3, and 4, even if they were already disqualified and caught carrying contraband at checkpoint 1.
That analogy perfectly captures the sheer inefficiency of it. I mean, you have already established a passenger shouldn't board the plane at the first metal detector, yet you are still paying the security guards at the next three checkpoints to thoroughly unpack their luggage and interview them again.
Which is just crazy.
It is. You are paying for redundant processing on data that has already clearly failed.
So how does this layered evil cascading pattern actually fix it? Like, what is the shift in perspective here?
Well, the core insight from our sources rewrites the fundamental cost equation of the system entirely.
Okay, how so?
In the naive baseline, your cost is calculated by taking your total bullet count and multiplying it by the unit cost of every single layer. But the cascade pattern dictates that a layer's cost should be calculated as the previous pass count multiplied by the layer unit cost.
Previous pass count, meaning only the data that actually survived the layer right before it.
That is the crucial pivot right there. Each subsequent layer only files on the previous layer's positive candidate, what the source explicitly calls an autoprop candidate.
Autoprop, got it.
Yeah, so if a bullet fails layer 2, it is discarded immediately. It never sees layer 2.5 or layer 2.6. If each layer filters out roughly 30% of inputs, a four-layer pipeline doesn't cost 100% of the baseline. It costs roughly 2.7%.
Wait, 2.7% of the original cost?
Yep.
you are shaving off over 97% of the computational expense just by not double-checking the obvious failures.
You are. It's massive. But, and this is a big but, you only get those massive savings if you set up the cascading rules perfectly.
Right. There's always a catch.
Always. If you just slap four random tests together, you know, you won't get this result. The system has to get progressively more rigorous and specialized as the cascade continues.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because if you put the most expensive, time-consuming checkpoint right at the front door of the airport, you haven't really solved the bottleneck at all.
Exactly.
Let's dig into the actual mechanics of this specific four-layer pipeline then. It starts with layer two, which they call GEVOL. What is the actual mechanism happening there?
So layer two is your baseline filter. It is the only layer in the entire cascade that runs on absolutely every single bullet of data.
Okay, so it's the front door.
Exactly. The source notes, it uses a 1x subage, basically a relatively lightweight LLM process that spins up, looks at the input, checks it against broad criteria, and outputs a simple confidence score and a verdict of pass or fail.
And how long does that take?
It takes about 10 seconds per bullet.
So GEVAL does the initial broad stroke sweep. It catches the glaring hallucinations or the complete formatting failures. And if a bullet gets a positive verdict, it becomes an autoprop candidate and moves to layer 2.5.
Right, which is the NLI layer.
But why do we need another layer so quickly? Like, if GL says it's a pass, what is GEVAL missing that NLI has to catch?
Well, GEVAL is a generalist. It might say, yes, this text looks like a valid answer, but it can miss really subtle logical leaps. NLI stands for Natural Language Inference, and this layer uses a very specific tool, a 1x DiBERTA 440 millibeam model.
Let's pause there for a second, because the source just drops DiBERTA 440 millibeam without much context.
Oh, right. Yeah.
For someone who hasn't built an evaluation pipeline, what is that actually doing?
So it is a smaller, highly specialized model. It isn't a massive generative AI that writes poetry, you know. Its entire architecture is trained to understand how words relate to each other in context.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, its sole job is to check for entailment or contradiction. It looks at the source material on the generated bullet and asks, does bullet B logically and strictly follow from bullet A?
Got it. So if the source says the store opens at 9 a.m. and the AI generated a bullet saying customers can shop at 8 a.m., DiBERTA spots the logical contradiction immediately. Even if GEVAL thought the sentence sounded perfectly natural.
Exactly the mechanism. And the financial beauty here is that layer 2.5 only triggers on the autoprop candidates from layer 2.
Which is where the savings kick in.
Huge savings.
Hello.
The source notes, this step alone yields a 5 to 9 times cost savings right off the bat, simply because you skipped running that DiBERTA model on all the discards GEVAL already caught.
Okay, so GEVAL does the broad filter. NLI checks the strict logic. That brings us to layer 2.6, which is coherence.
Yes, coherence.
But wait, if NLI already verified that the logic is sound and doesn't contradict the source, aren't we good? Why do we even need coherence?
Because logic in a vacuum doesn't mean the output makes sense in its final location.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what if the logic is sound, but it entirely misses the context of the paragraph it is sitting in? NLI just checks A versus B. Coherence checks the neighborhood.
Okay, checking the neighborhood. How does that actually work in the code?
Coherence is significantly heavier. The source actually states it uses 5 times the NLI resources per bullet.
Wow, 5 times.
Yeah. The mechanism involves pulling in the sentences before and after our candidate bullet. It takes the candidate, places it back into its original surrounding context, and runs multiple comparisons to find the maximum contradiction probability.
Oh, I see what it's doing.
Right. It is asking, if I put this logically sound bullet here, does it suddenly contradict the sentence right next to it?
So it is checking for flow and contextual agreement, which perfectly explains why it takes 5 times the computational power.
Exactly.
You aren't just running one comparison anymore. You are extracting multiple surrounding sentences and running, like, a whole matrix of comparisons.
And you would never want to run that heavy coherence check on every single piece of data. It would bankrupt you.
Seriously.
You only spend those heavy coherence resources on data that has already proven it is broadly correct and logically sound.
Makes total sense.
And if it survives coherence, we finally arrive at the final boss of the pipeline, layer 2.7, which is self-check GPT.
And here is where I think the design of the system gets truly brilliant. Because self-check GPT has a very specific, narrow trigger. It does not even run on all the candidates that survive coherence.
No, it doesn't. Self-check GPT only triggers if the confidence score from the earlier layers falls into a very specific borderline range.
The danger zone.
Exactly. The range is between 0.0 and 0.85.
So wait, if a bullet scores a 0.95, meaning The system's incredibly confident it's a great output. It just skips layer 2.7 entirely and goes straight to the user.
Yes, exactly. And if it scores a 0.60, it just fails and gets discarded earlier on. But that 0.70 to 0.85 range is the borderline zone.
Where it's not quite sure.
Right. It means the earlier layers are essentially saying, I think this is right, but I'm not entirely sure. That is when you deploy self-check GPT. And the source notes this step costs 3 times what a baseline GEVOL costs.
And what is self-check GPT actually doing under the hood to justify that massive cost? The source mentions it checks for variance in agreement, but how does it achieve that?
It essentially interrogates the LLM.
Interrogates it.
Yeah, when you ask an LLM a question, it navigates a path of probabilities to give you an answer. Self-check GPT forces the model to answer the same underlying query multiple times, or it samples different generation paths behind the scenes.
That's fascinating.
Right, so if the model says the capital of France is Paris 5 times in a row, variance is low, agreement is high, but if it says Paris, then London, then Berlin.
The variance is incredibly high.
Exactly. It means the model is hallucinating or just guessing.
So it is a deep structural lie detector test.
That's a perfect way to put it.
We catch the obvious garbage at layer 2 with the cheap tool.
Yeah.
We check logic at 2.5. We check context at 2.6. And we only say this incredibly expensive lie detector test for layer 2.7 when we honestly aren't sure if a bullet should pass.
Intelligent resource allocation at its finest. You dynamically adjust the level of scrutiny based on the confidence of the system at any given microsecond.
It really is an elegant funnel.
Mm.
But reading through the source, it is super clear that if you want to build this, you have to follow strict mathematical rules.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if you mess up the arrangement, the cascade actually becomes a huge liability.
To really grasp why the rules matter, we should look at the verified mathematical breakdown provided in the source. They tested this on a live cascade.
Let's do the math, but let's focus on the impact for everyone listening.
Okay, so imagine a baseline scenario with 10 input bullets. Out of those 10, let's say 4 are strong positives, they will pass easily, and 1 is a borderline case.
Got it. 10 total, 4 pass, 1 borderline.
Right. If we run this the naive way, forcing every bullet through every layer, you pay the base cost for all 10 bullets across the board. Layer 2 is 10 units. Layer 2.5 is 10 units. Layer 2.6 is 50 units, because remember, it's 5 times heavier.
Right, the coherence check.
Yep. And layer 2.7 is 30 units. So the naive approach costs 100 units of compute in total.
Okay, but with the positive-only cascade, layer 2 still runs on all 10, so that's 10 units.
Correct.
But layer 2.5 only fires on the 4 that passed.
Oh.
Layer 2.6 only fires on those 4. And self-check GPT only fires on the 1 borderline case.
Which brings the total computational cost down to 37 units. 37 units versus 100 units. That is the verified 2.7 times cost savings in action.
It is a profound difference.
Yeah.
But those savings rely entirely on design rule 1, cheapest layer first.
It is totally non-negotiable. GEVOL is your cheapest net, so it goes first. NLI and coherence are heavier. They sit in the middle. Self-check GPT is the most expensive, so it sits at the very end, guarding the exit.
Makes total sense.
Because if you reverse the, like, if you put self-check GPT at layer 2, you bankrupt the system immediately. You would be running your most expensive resource-heavy check on the absolute highest volume of unfiltered data.
Right. The funnel has to narrow as the cost increases. Which brings us to design rule 2.
Yes.
The source states that each layer must be discriminative. But wait, I was thinking about this from the perspective of building a reliable app. If I'm building a quality gate, shouldn't my goal be that my underlying AI is so good it generates perfect data? Meaning 100% of my inputs should pass every layer.
I mean, in a utopian world, yes. But if you have an AI generating perfect data, you don't need a 4-layer evaluation pipeline in the first place.
Fair point.
We build these pipelines because real-world data distributions are really messy. If you build a layer in your cascade and 100% of your inputs are passing through it, that layer is worse than useless.
It's just a drain on resources.
Exactly. It is a parasitic cost. You just spent time and computational power to filter absolutely nothing. The source explicitly states you should aim for a 20% to 50% filtering rate per layer.
So every layer has to have teeth. It has to be actively catching and discarding bad data, or it shouldn't be in the pipeline at all. It's just dead weight.
Precisely. And that leads to a very stark warning from the source about when to apply this pattern.
What's the warning?
It is designed for imbalanced distributions, meaning situations where the vast majority of your inputs are either obvious passes or obvious fails, and only a tiny minority are those difficult borderline cases.
So what happens if you apply it to the wrong distribution, like where everything is borderline?
If every single input you feed into this pipeline is a complex, borderline case, say you are evaluating highly ambiguous legal texts where nothing is a clear pass or fail, the cascade produces zero savings.
Zero.
Zero, because everything would pass through layer 2, pass through 2.5, pass through 2.6, and trigger 2.7 anyway.
Yeah.
You would just be running the expensive, naive baseline, but you'd have written way more complex code to do it.
Oof. That is a critical caveat.
Yeah.
Which naturally pivots us to the reality of actually engineering this thing.
Yes, the fun part.
Because no technical solution is magic, and we really need to address the trade-offs so you get a realistic picture of what adopting this cascade entails.
Not easy.
The source emphasizes a vital principle called the fail-open default. And I have to admit, this confused me at first.
Really?
Yeah. If a layer times out or throws an error, the rule is you do not block the pipeline.
Mm.
But if the quality gate breaks, shouldn't you stop the data from going through?
I get why that feels counterintuitive, especially to security mindsets. But think about it like a toll booth on a major highway. If the credit card reader at the toll booth suddenly breaks, you do not stop the highway and cause a 10-mile traffic jam.
Right, that would be a disaster.
You just open the gate, let the cars drive through for free, log the error, and send a mechanic to fix the machine. Keeping the system moving is far more important than catching every single toll.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
In production, if one coherence check times out, blocking the whole pipeline causes massive bottlenecks for your users.
So the fail open default means you let the data pass, but you audit log the error heavily and then offer an opt-in rerun later.
Exactly. And speaking of audit logs, the sheer engineering complexity of implementing this cascade is staggering.
It sounds like it.
The source outlines that adding a single layer adds between 500 and 1,000 lines of code to your code base.
Wow, so you aren't just plugging in a simple API key.
Not at all. You have to build an environment flag for every single new layer. They use a specific syntax, vault underscore layer equals 1.
Yeah.
And here's the kicker. This flag defaults to OAuth.
Wait, you spend weeks building this complex layer, 1,000 lines of code, and you don't even turn it on by default. Why?
Because of the risk of silent false positives.
What do you mean?
If you turn on a new automated filter and it has a bug that accidentally throws out perfectly good data, it will corrupt your entire database silently. You won't know until users complain they aren't seeing their results.
That is terrifying.
It is. So you use the environment flag to run the layer in the dark alongside production. You only flip that default to on in after you've completed two or more runs with zero false positives.
You have to prove it works flawlessly before you give it the power to actively discard data.
Precisely.
And to prove that, you need incredibly detailed logs. The source lists 4 to 6 specific audit fields per layer that must be written to a structured log, like status, score, downgrade flag, and latency in milliseconds.
And that last field, latency in milliseconds, brings up the absolute biggest trade-off of this entire pattern. The source calls it latency additivity.
Wait, if I'm building an interactive app like, say, a customer service chatbot where a user is staring at a typing indicator waiting for a response, won't this cascading system cause a massive delay?
Yes. Yes, it will. If you have 4 layers and each layer takes 2 seconds to run its API call, that equals an 8-second total wait time.
And 8 seconds in user interface time is a complete eternity. People will refresh the page or assume the app is broken.
Which is exactly why the source strictly forbids using this deep pipeline for interactive flows. A 2-second baseline is acceptable for a chatbot, but an 8-second additive cascade is catastrophic for user experience.
Totally.
This layered pattern is designed for asynchronous processing. It is for background crystallization, batch evaluation, or data pipelines that run overnight.
Ah, I see.
It is built for scenarios where you prioritize absolute cost efficiency and output quality over instantaneous feedback.
So it is an incredible tool for the back-end factory, but it is the wrong tool entirely for the front-of-house storefront.
Exactly. You have to know your architectural use case before you commit to 1,000 lines of code.
Well, bringing this all together, the brilliance of the layered evil cascading pattern is undeniable. By adopting a positive-only cascade, you completely stop paying to double-check obvious failures.
Yeah.
By strictly ordering your tools from cheapest to most expensive, you protect your infrastructure budget. And by ensuring each layer is highly discriminative, you create a system that can achieve massive 3 to 30 times cost savings while maintaining exceptionally high quality AI outputs.
It really takes a brute force problem and applies an elegant, optimized funnel. Catch the clear failures early and save the intense computational load for the nuanced edge cases.
Really makes you rethink how we approach problem solving in general, not just in code.
It does, and I think there is a fascinating broader application here. We have analyzed this entirely through the lens of AI pipelines and large language models today, but think about your own decision-making processes or your team's workflows. Where in your daily business are you applying naive every bullet effort?
Like, are you running every minor decision through a four-stage committee review?
Exactly. How much time, energy, and human capital could you save if you only applied your most expensive cognitive resources, like your deep focus, your executive meetings, your senior staff, to the borderline cases that actually survive an initial cheap common sense filter?
If we treated our own time and attention like those expensive API costs, we would probably build a cascade pretty fast.
I know I would.
Next time you are stuck in a workflow that feels endlessly repetitive, ask yourself,
Are
you forcing everyone through checkpoint 4 when they already failed checkpoint 1? We'll leave you to think about that.